Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grede, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Craig Hoffman.
The same guy as in 2002 when he's pouring milk under the learner's thing at FedEx Field.
Sorry.
The same guy. Siri, not right now.
The Hoffman Show.
How rude, Anthony. In the middle of a radio show, you settled down over there. Mid-rant. Gracious.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. So if you're watching the show on YouTube, you can tell Chris Russell is back today because I'm still... Chris has been in the last couple of days as Ben Schrober's in for Anthony again, as he will be all week. Russell's been here, been on the air, but he hasn't been in studio the last couple of days, and so... having to readjust to not having an hour before the show to set everything up. It was a little bit of a mad scramble sometimes. Now you've really gotten the full Hoffman Show experience, Ben.
Shout out Anthony Haney. Happy birthday.
Yes, shout out to my guy. I forgot how to say happy birthday in French. It's Feliz Cumpleaños in Spanish, but I think he's still in Paris. He's not in Barcelona yet. So I should text him. In fact, I might. My phone is in my pocket. I'll have to text Anthony. I'm going to go ahead and open a blank text to Anthony right now. And then when I open my phone in the commercial break, I'll remember to send it to him. So, Ben, thanks for that.
Of course.
Good work out of you. So today we got a whole bunch of stuff happening on the show. We have a lot of NBA. We have some WNBA as well. We will also let you hear a little take command, I think, at 5:30. A very fun discussion Logan and I had answering a mailbag question of why the answer to the question, what is the low threshold for athleticism to play in the NFL, is essentially Logan Paulson. That's kind of how that discussion wound up going, but we will get to that a little bit later. We start, though, in the NBA, where the... Milwaukee Bucks have completely taken us by surprise with a monster move that we did not see coming. And in some ways, this is a more significant, like, name value move than it is a move the needle move. Because Damian Lillard has a torn Achilles. He's going to miss all of next season. And he's older at this point. Like, he's not the prime top 10 player he was. He's not the guy playing at the level that got him on the NBA's all-time 75 list a couple years ago. This is a different kind of guy. But the Bucks made a very interesting roster decision, and what they're doing with Lillard that I think shows, like, this is a team that's very serious about going for it. And about a month ago, probably, we had Greg Matzik on, who's going to join us again today at 4:30. We're also going to check in Atlanta with our guy Mike Conti on the Hawks, because I think the Hawks are crushing this offseason. But the Milwaukee Bucks, the rumors were like, oh, Giannis is going to basically tell them what the deal is. And I asked Greg, like, hey, like, when do we expect to hear? And Greg scoffed, literally scoffed at the question. He's like, there's nothing happening with Giannis. And, you know, the national types keep trying to, you know, stir the pot. But he was so adamant. And I respect it as a guy who sometimes we just know better about our local teams than the national folks who seem to occasionally be bored and need new things to talk about or are incapable of talking about new things and just talk about the same old things over and over and over again, even though there's no there. And he's just like, Giannis wants to stay. He's not going anywhere. The Bucks are going to build around him. And I was like, good. That's what should happen. The Bucks need to build around Giannis because what are you going to do? You spend your whole life trying to find a guy like Giannis. You got him. He's a hero in there because he's already won a title. He's only 31. It's not like he's, you know, 40. He's 31 years old. He's in his prime. When he's playing at his level, he's arguably the best player in the world. All due respect to Nikola Jokic. Like, their numbers aren't that different when Giannis is cooking. Jokic has just been able to cook more consistently over the last couple of seasons. So, obviously, they make the move a couple years ago when Giannis is considering the extension to go out and get Lillard. I commend their aggressiveness in trying to build around Giannis. And they did something that I think is pretty fascinating. They, in order to sign Miles Turner, who they are hoping, I think, turns into what Brooke Lopez was on those championship teams. They need to figure out the Jrue Holiday piece, but we'll get there. In order to sign Miles Turner to a four-year, $107 million deal, they are waiving and stretching the contract of Damian Lillard. So what that means is they waive him, and the dead money, instead of all being eaten over the next 2 years, he had 2 years, $113 million left on his contract. By the way, an extension. Ben, do you know when the Damian Lillard extension kicks in?
Tell me.
Today.
Today.
The contract he signed a couple of years ago, the extension, when he got to Milwaukee, he will play zero games on that extension for the Milwaukee Bucks.
How about that?
It's going to cost them a lot of money, though.
There's so many things in sports today that involve guys getting paid.
It's Bobby
for not
Bonilla
playing.
Day.
It's Bobby Bonilla Day. It's Chris Davis Day, if you're an Orioles fan. Chris Davis is making $9 million today. That's more than everyone except two players on the Orioles right now.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Deferred money.
Happy July 1st.
Happy July 1st. And it's going to be, it's not necessarily Dame Lillard Day over the next couple, because I don't know how the cash flow works on that. What I do know is that the cap hits, the dead money that they are taking on for this will be stretched out over 5 years instead of two. So they are taking a 22 to 25 million. I can't remember if it's 22.5 or 25, but a over 20 million cap hit each of the next 5 years. And I think that's really interesting because I can make the argument they should just eat it over the next 2 years and take a step back this year, see what you can maneuver, see if you can trade him next year as a player who might be able to play. Like, you might have to attach draft capital to get off him, but at that point, he's an expiring contract. But they're like, no, we're going to handicap ourselves, but we're going to make sure that we do not waste a year of Giannis's prime. He's 31. He's had some injury stuff that started to creep up. We just don't know how much longer we're going to have this guy playing at elite, 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 all NBA type levels. And so we're going to go for it. And that means getting Miles Turner. That means operating at basically a $20 million deficit every single year moving forward. And while I don't know that strategically it's the right thing to do, I don't feel like I am in a position to say that. I don't know how the free agency looks up the next couple of years. I don't know what other moves they think they can make. And I respect that front office because they have gotten real creative over the years. What I can definitively say is I respect the hell out of them for going for it. Now, they're going to need some pieces to work. They're going to need Kyle Kuzma to play at a much, much higher level than he played for his final year with the Wizards and his first whatever months that was in Milwaukee. He was not very good for them. The Wizards look to have severely won that trade in getting a prospect in A.J. Johnson, nevertheless the draft capital moving forward that they have from Milwaukee. But if Kyle can rebound and be what he was 2 years ago, and he's still plenty young enough to do that, and Miles Turner's playing really well, and Giannis is Giannis in an East where Tyrese Halliburton is out. Now, by the way, you've also weakened the team that seemed most likely to reign supreme in the East the next couple of years in Indiana. They have to replace Miles Turner now, and they don't have a lot of ways to do that. Retaining your own free agents because of how it works with the cap and the exceptions and your ability to go over the cap, like that stuff's super important. And now Indiana just lost him after. Ironically, I saw this great post this morning from Kevin O'Connor from Yahoo. Miles Turner was in trade rumors for 10 years in Indiana. They never traded him, and it finally felt like after this finals run, he was going to stay, and now he's gone. But they lose him for nothing. They lose him just as a free agent who walks out the door, no draft capital in return, unless they can somehow figure out a sign-and-trade. And I don't think Milwaukee is going to go through all of these hoops to try to give something up. They're just going to be like, no, we created the space. Like, we're gonna do this. And so I think the defining thing of free agency so far is there are teams that are going for it. There are teams like Houston who have made really smart trades, starting with the Durant trade and then been able to sign a couple of guys, and those teams are going for it. Atlanta has seen the opportunity in the Eastern Conference and is going for it. Milwaukee is going for it. There's a couple other teams that are sitting a little more pat or have gotten beaten out for some stuff, and it's like, man, are they just going to accept kind of where they are? What are they hoping to do? So we'll run through some of the big moves next. We'll run through, the Wizards haven't done anything yet. They don't really have a lot of room to do stuff. They don't really have a lot of roster spots, and they've got a ton of young players, so they're not looking to necessarily sign veterans, but we can also take a look at who is available and who might be on the Wizards' radar. But I respect these teams that are going for it. In an era where it'd be easy to just be like, hey, Oklahoma City is going to be awesome. Okay, let's go watch them repeat. There are teams that are like, no, we're going to challenge. We're going to take our shot. And we'll talk about some more of those teams with some people who cover them as we go. Again, Greg Matzik covers Milwaukee at 4:30. Mike Conti at 5. We'll talk to my guy Ben Pickman at 6 o'clock, who covers the WNBA, about a piece he wrote with his colleague Sabrina Merchant, why Caitlin Clark might be worth $1 billion with a B to the league, as well as the Aliyah Edwards trade rumors that popped up today from ESPN. So lots to come here on the Team 980. We're just getting started on the Hoffman Show.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too. At the Team 980. All right. Ben Schrober with us for the week. Anthony celebrating his birthday over in Europe. So we'll get the stories when he gets back. Ben, did you have a favorite move that a team made yesterday in free agency? Or today?
Let me think about this for a second. You know, come back to me in like 1 minute.
Okay.
I need to go back and look through again everything that's happened.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. I think the Miles Turner Bucks thing is probably my favorite. Like them just being like, let's go for it. I do think there's a chance it winds up being a little short-sighted, that the better move would have been to just eat Dame's contract for the year, trade him hopefully next summer when he's an expiring, and go from there. But, you know, that is what it is. So I think some of the other ones that I really like is the Nuggets getting Jonas Valanciunas. That's good center depth for them. They obviously need to get some other guys. They did bring back Bruce Brown, which is hilarious because everyone's criticized them for letting Brown walk after the championship. Now he comes back having kind of been an NBA vagabond ever since. He never really stuck any of the other places he was. He signs the big contract, or the good contract, not huge, in Indiana, gets traded in the Siakam deal to Toronto, doesn't really play. When he does play, it's not great, so hopefully he can find it. And then, you know, we'll talk to Mike Conti from Atlanta coming up at 5 o'clock. Dude, the Hawks getting N'Keal Alexander-Walker and Luke Kennard, they just keep adding dudes. N'Keal Alexander-Walker is a hell of a backup point guard and someone who can probably start with Trae Young, depending on what they want to do lineup-wise, or if one of their other young stud wings gets hurt. Like, they're defensively going to be so nasty around Trae Young, who obviously needs the help. And then Kennard, just like, let's get more shooting. Sick.
That was my favorite, was Kennard.
Like,
for Atlanta, because I didn't even really know Atlanta as a team that we'd expect to go this hard after it here in this free agency period. And now when you look at the roster top to bottom for the Hawks, you go, wait, they kind of have a squad there. And now you add Kennard, and it's giving Kyle Korver vibes all over again from like 2015 with the way they bring in a guy that can shoot the ball like that. Because those Hawks teams with Jeff Teague were actually dangerous until they got swept by the Cavs, of course. But I could see Kennard being in the same kind of role that Korver was in those prime years of Atlanta basketball.
I mean, they're like 10 deep. They're legit, depending on how their rookie Asa Newell does. They're legit 10 deep. I mean, Trey Johnson, Dyson Daniels, Jalen Johnson, Kristaps Porzingis, Okongwu at center, Kennard, Alexander Walker, Rhys Archer, the number one overall pick. And I realize it was a weird year, but the number one overall pick last year is coming off the bench. Newell, and then, oh yeah, they got Kristaps Porzingis, and they can afford to play him. Like, I would just play KP like 20 minutes a night until the playoffs, and then if he's still healthy and awesome, like, just unleash him in the playoffs. He, for Boston, was so good and is such a game changer. And it's not like he's old. He's not young anymore. And I really wish we, you know, had a better understanding of what happened with, like, whatever sickness, illness last year. But he's 29 years old. Like, theoretically, he's still in his prime. And so, if you look at this Eastern Conference, which, again, I know everyone's talking about it, but, like, Boston's kind of out for the year because of Tatum. Halliburton out, like, goodbye, Indiana. Like, we'll see how good Milwaukee is. Miami's probably the weakest they've been in a while. Like, the Knicks, I like the Gershon Yushabele, the French guy who's had a couple of cups of coffee in the NBA. Like, he's a fine player, good for depth. He'll run around and do some stuff. For what coach? I don't know. The Knicks still don't have a coach. That's fun. But, like, the Knicks will be good. But, like, why not the Hawks? Why, they made the conference finals like 3-4 years ago, and then it obviously hasn't gone great since. I think this roster's way better than that roster was.
They've
and
retooled.
The East is probably weaker.
They've retooled so well. In the past couple years, ever since they were in the conference finals in 2021, the Hawks have kind of, for me, defined mediocre. Like, they have been the most mediocre team in basketball for the last 3 years. They're not bad, but they're not particularly good, which is interesting because they've had Trae Young this whole time. They just haven't really been able to get enough necessary pieces around him to get them over the hump. But now with the East as weak as it is, as you've just mentioned a second ago, I guess it's the time that Atlanta now has felt it's time to go for it and enter a win-now mode. And suddenly maybe the Hawks are actually a team we might see top four in the East this year.
I think they're definitely a top four team in the East. I think the question I have with Atlanta is kind of the fundamental question. Like, if you want to look at it, because now there's probably people listening who are like, oh, hey, Craig, well, you've been so defensive of what, and by defensive, I don't mean like defensive. That's not the right word. You have been complimentary of what the Wizards have done. You have said it's the right move. And it's like, well, the Hawks never tanked. You know, they got the number one pick last year, but they got there based off of like lottery luck. They didn't have quite the Mavs odds, but they were like 3% to get the number one pick. So they've never been a team that's just totally bottomed out. But they've drafted really well in the middle with guys like Dyson Daniels, who looks like a defensive player of the year type candidate. You know, guys like Jalen Johnson. They've got they've done really well. They also, it should be said, like, they went for it with the DeJounte Murray trade and then got really lucky that they were able to retrade him at a similar value. And so they unloaded a bunch of picks, got a bunch of picks back in trading him, and then they got extra lucky because Murray, you know, ultimately tore his Achilles last year for the Pelicans. But my question for Atlanta isn't, like, can they compete in the East in 2025? My question for Atlanta is, like, are you actually, let's say you win the East next year. Are you getting smoked in the finals by Oklahoma City, by Denver, by Minnesota? Like, that, to me, the answer is yes. And that becomes the question is, like, has Atlanta now, like, is Atlanta good enough to take another step? Do they have the resources to take another step? And how have they made themselves attractive enough to a potential star that if, and do they have the resources that they have stuff to trade? Because I still don't think they have a traditional best player on a championship team type player. And I don't think they have, like, Trey, could you squint your eyes and convince yourself that Trey Young is Tyrese Halliburton and that that could, that with, you know, that player trying a little harder on defense could power a championship team? You could try to make that argument. I just don't know if it's true. But that would be the difference between, I think, them and, like, the Wizards is the Wizards don't even have the Trae Young piece, and I don't know if the Trae Young piece is good enough to actually win a title.
Another team I'm really interested in right now because they haven't done a whole lot is the Minnesota Timberwolves. From what we've seen, and of course...
Well, they did retain Julius Randle and Naz Reid, and that's
was important. I think losing important. Alexander Walker is key for them. But internally, I'm not sure where the Timberwolves view themselves right now because they haven't appeared desperate to make a move here. The past couple years, they've been really close, haven't been able to get over the hump, but not a lot of activity really right now from Minnesota, other than the retaining these key guys.
Yeah, I mean... Unfortunately for them, I think that's all they can really do. There was obviously talk of them trying to get in the Durant sweepstakes, but I am pretty sure, they're a second apron team. So, like, they can't, they're out of room. Like, the reason they lost Nikhil Alexander Walker is because they had to make room for Naz Reid. And they were just like, we're going to prioritize, obviously, the, what's it called? The market was robust enough for Nikhil Alexander Walker that they couldn't get him back on a contract that they wanted. And so they're just very limited in what they can do.
How many teams are second apron teams right now?
That's a great question, and I don't know the answer.
Like, I feel like it's a lot.
There's quite a few that are close. There's a couple teams, like, I think you look at a move, or just real quick on Minnesota. I they bring back Joe Ingles too, so they kind of keep their veteran, you know, guy in place, even though he didn't play a lot for them. But, like, this is why they get Rob Dillingham. This is why they get Terrence Shannon in the draft. They need guys to make internal growth, and sometimes that's what you need. And, you know, the Nuggets relied upon that a couple years ago, and their young guys didn't step up, and now it feels like they've made a huge mistake and not, you know, trying to figure out how to bring back Bruce Brown a couple years ago and some of the other guys they lost. You need some of those internal guys to step up. But, you see some of these moves that are made, like the Kings, I think I saw, they saved like $5 million in the Valanciunas trade. But in doing that, they saved actually $14 million in cash. And more importantly, they were able to stay under one of the thresholds and avoid being a repeater team. And that comes with some even heavier restrictions. So a lot of the moves that get made are financial. And a lot of the reasons teams maybe aren't as aggressive, but that's why I have so much respect for a team like Atlanta, a team like Milwaukee, who is figuring out how to maneuver itself to make these moves, which is why I wanted to have someone from Atlanta and someone from Milwaukee on to discuss what they are doing. Greg Matzik, our pal from WTMJ in Milwaukee, is going to join us to do the Bucks side of things next. Mike Conti from Atlanta at 5. Some WNBA talk later as well with Ben Pickman. We're locked and loaded here on a Tuesday on The Hoffman Show.
Hate doing cardio? try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
A gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Hoffman's show. We're on the team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the team 980. In fact, if you're watching us there or listening on the app right now, that's all of you. Apparently, we're having an issue with our transmitter with a massive storm that's rolled through DC here. So if you're like, you tuned in and you're like, okay, the show's on. What happened to the radio station? Our engineers are very, very good at what they do. They're working on it, but you know, you're checking us out on 106.7 HD2 or on the app or on YouTube, and we appreciate you finding us when we didn't appear on your radio. That said, though, the show rolls on, and we are happy to have it roll on with Greg Matzik, who is the sports director at WTMJ in Milwaukee. Greg, how are you this afternoon? Thanks for joining us again. We got Greg. Let's see. Let's try this one more time. Ben, you might need to pull it up on your side the way it's set up right now. So there we go. I think we got Greg now. Take three. Third time's the charm. Greg Matzik, hello.
Hey, guys. You guys doing all right out there? Sounds a little nasty.
Yeah, the storm has knocked us off the air. Our buttons are apparently all backwards. But hey, now we can just talk basketball. And that's really all I want to do in mid-July. So last time you were on, I asked you at the very end, we had you on for a Packers-adjacent thing when Jair Alexander got released. And at the end, I was like, by the way, do you think anything's going to happen with this Giannis story? And you were basically like, I don't know why everyone keeps talking about this. Giannis is staying. And boy, were you right about that, Greg. In terms, we've now seen them clearly try to build around Giannis. The moves they're making are to compete right now. What do you make of the decision to waive and stretch Damian Lillard, put themselves at a somewhat disadvantage over the next 5 years, obviously, as they'll have that $20 million cap hit, but it allows them to make moves right now they couldn't otherwise, including signing Miles Turner?
Really interesting move and kind of an unprecedented move in how far they're stretching this out in over $100 million of Lillard's contract. So he's going to get paid, but he's essentially getting paid to go away. But you're either going to pay Lillard $49 million to not play next season because of his Achilles injury, or waive him, stretch out the payments over the course of 5 years, and then free up, you know, roughly $25, $26 million to use on somebody else or maybe a number of players. Well, in finding Miles Turner at a fairly reasonable price, they get quite a bit younger, almost 10 years younger than Brook Lopez, 40% three-point shooter. Playing on a team with Giannis, you're going to shoot the three, you're going to have opportunities, and likely, you know, not have a lot of those threes be contested. And he's a guy who's, quite honestly, been kind of a pain in the Bucks' butt over the last couple of years. He's a good player, a fringe all-star player. So they backfill Lopez, they bring in some length. Giannis will only play center if he has to, and in certain rotations and lineups. They bring back Bobby Portis as well, who, not quite the defender, but some instant offense off the bench. So I kind of like what they've done here in the front court. And then, you know, re-signing the players who sort of made sense, who are a little younger, good role players who can also knock down open shots. And in the case of Kevin Porter Jr., maybe be your starting point guard on day one. Going to be interesting to see what happens here the rest of free agency. But you're looking at Porter and likely having to find some depth at the point guard position. But you're paying Lillard to go away instead of paying him $49 million to sit on the bench and rehab.
Do you think they make these moves if Jason Tatum is able to play next year for the Celtics and Tyrese Halliburton is able to play next year for the Pacers? And we can take out of the equation of would the Pacers have been more aggressive in re-signing Turner, just merely the availability of extra competitiveness in the Eastern Conference.
Yes, I do, because there's a filter. There's a filter that John Horst pours every bit of NBA transactional liquid down, and that is called the Giannis filter. And the Giannis filter suggests basically this. Will this move help us keep Giannis? If the answer is yes, the move is made, or at least an attempt to make that move is made. If the answer to that question is no, the move is not made. And it's a very simple filter, but holding on to Dame, when you know he can't play for a year and paying him nearly $50 million, that doesn't make the Bucks better, really, in any way. Letting Brook Lopez walk, I think people saw that happening. He's getting closer to 40 years old. It was a key part of a Bucks championship run, but they had to get younger. They had to find a way to get a little more athletic and also not sacrifice quality in any way. So in the last couple of years, they've moved on from aging veterans. Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, Brook Lopez. In some way, shape, or form, that made up a big three or big four, including Giannis, from a team that won a title. And now all of those pieces are gone, with the exception of Giannis, the guy they had to keep. And John Horst was hell-bent on keeping Giannis in Milwaukee.
Greg, Matt Sick, the sports director at WTMJ in Milwaukee, is with us here on the Hoffman Show. Greg, do you think there is a chance that they regret a year from now just saying, man, we should have just eaten it in 2025-26, and maybe we could have traded Dame, gotten off all the money, and then had clean slate in terms of what his contract will count moving forward? Or is the risk too high because of the Giannis filter that you just talked about?
Yeah, I think with John Horst, it's all about how can we maximize our opportunity to win now, and let's worry about the future when it comes. And I think evidence of that are just the litany of draft picks the Bucks have traded over the years. And some have worked, by the way. Some of those trades have worked out. Others have not, right? They traded 3 second-rounders for Jay Crowder. That didn't work out very well. But what the heck does Giannis care about second-round draft picks? He doesn't. We got to win now. Let's find somebody with experience who's played in NBA Finals games before. Again, it didn't work out with Crowder, but that was part of the filter that I bring up again. Will it help us keep Giannis? Does it help put us toward a goal of winning a championship? That window is open as long as Giannis is in a Bucks uniform. So you can't convince him that we just need to wait. We need to wait and be patient here. That likely makes it more difficult to keep Giannis. So it's all about the here and the now with this current general manager and his assistants.
So there was the Giannis social media post earlier today that seemed like he was like, I don't know what's going on. And then there was pretty soon after a Chris Haynes report that he is not happy with the Damian Lillard decision. Do you buy any of that? And what do you make of the social media post? By the way, yes, I do hate myself for asking you this question, but it's one that I'm sure people are wondering. So Sports Talk Radio in 2025, it is what it is.
It's kind of a choose-your-own-adventure day if you're a Bucks fan,
yeah.
Right? So Chris Haynes says Giannis is upset with how things went down, and there's another report that says Giannis and Miles Turner have been in contact and love the opportunity to work together toward building a championship team. So take whatever you want, however you want it. But let me say this. Giannis can be a little annoyed at how things went down with Lillard, but not be annoyed that he's not part of the team. Right? I mean, you can look at it two different ways, I suppose. But, Giannis wasn't happy when Jason Kidd got fired, and then the Bucks won a title a couple years after that. Things happen in this league, and Giannis doesn't just sit on the sidelines and wait for things to happen. I think he is actively involved in discussions with the Bucks on certain things. And maybe he didn't see this one coming with Dame, but if it's all about protecting your mega superstar, and that's exactly what John Horst wants to do, sometimes tough decisions need to be made. And the Dame thing didn't work out. It likely could have, maybe, if he, is healthy and going into his third season in the Bucks uniform, but there's no guarantee he wants to stay in Milwaukee after that season. So whether Giannis is annoyed, frustrated, I don't think that really matters. I think what matters is he's going to be a part of this team next year, and you try and point your arrows in the right direction.
Greg Matzik with us here on the Hoffman Show. So, Greg, you highlighted or touched on this a little bit earlier in this chat, but what do the Bucks need to do now in your mind to become legit contenders in the East, or are they pretty much already there considering the state of the East?
Well, yeah, the state of the East is kind of odd, just given the star appeal that is down. And I guess you could include Lillard in that mix because he's not going off to, you know, Miami or another potential contender to play next season. It's going to be at least a year, and then, you know, he'll get to choose his own adventure, likely. But with Halliburton down and out and Brown down and out, Indiana gets hit a little more now, losing Turner. The East has never really been so wide open. A team like the Knicks are probably looking at it saying, look, we got the best shot here. And they might as we sit here on July 1st. So I think the East is wide open for the taking. A team like Orlando becomes interesting. But I do think more teams will have those thoughts of coming out of the East and going to the finals than in previous years. So I'm wondering about the point guard position here for the Bucks because it's not a ton of depth. Beyond Kevin Porter Jr., who is, you know, today your starter at point guard and a capable scorer. So they got to find a way to build some depth there. They've got Shuden coming back with Gary Trent Jr. and Torian Prince. These guys are going to hit over 40% of their threes. Turner's kind of in that mold, too. Play with Giannis and you're a three-point shooter, you're likely to have one of your better years shooting with the way he spaces the floor and the way teams collapse on him. But to make sure you've got enough depth, I think front court depth is good. Back court depth, I think, needs to be figured out.
Last but not least, the local angle for us, if you will. Obviously, there was the Kuzma trade last year, and he continued to be disappointing when he left Washington and went to Milwaukee. He just had a disappointing 2024-2025. How high are your hopes that he can turn it around in year two with Milwaukee going into a season where he knows a contender needs him?
Not very high. I think he is what he is at this point, and that's an uber-athletic, capable 20-point scorer who is routinely inefficient and occasionally makes your head bleed because he throws up shots that go off the side of the backboard and can't finish a layup, right? I mean, he has those nights. You saw it. It's like, well, what in the world? Like, he's got all the skills to be everything, and sometimes that comes together. But it's never efficient. Sometimes it just doesn't look right, and you scratch your heads wondering, you know, just how many years he's played competitive basketball. But I think he's a guy that you're going to have to work with, and he'll be a part of things. He'll get minutes, and he can defend. But there's just wild inconsistency with his game, and that's kind of been his story from the start.
Yeah, the inconsistency is definitely a part of the Kyle Kuzma experience, and the Bucks are hoping to get the high end more often next season. Greg Matzik talking about all of it on WTMJ, where he is the sports director, great station in Milwaukee. Greg, thanks for the time as always, and have a great summer if we don't talk to you, and we'll talk to you next time there's a Bucks or Packers story, and there seems to be one on a regular basis, so we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you bet. Sounds good. Stay dry out there.
We'll do our best. Thanks. That's Greg Matzik with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back here on the Team 980, we'll get you updated on a couple of more deals that went down, some more thoughts on some of the movement in the NBA. We haven't talked a ton about the Western Conference yet, but we'll get back to the East at 5 o'clock with Mike Conti from Atlanta. But first, a look at what's trending. Upsets galore at Wimbledon, and another one potentially brewing. Novak Djokovic looks to have recovered in the third set. He'll need at least a fourth. He's up 5-2 currently in the third. Took the first set 6-1, lost in a tiebreaker to the set in the second set. So Djokovic looking to move on. Other than that, on the men's side, you had Tommy Paul, the American, move on in straight sets. The 4 or 7 seed Musetti, the Italian, goes down in 4 sets in the opening round of Wimbledon. Jannik Sinner, straight set winner, including Bagel in the third set. And then there was one other big upset if we keep on scrolling. Taylor Fritz won yesterday. Oh, Alexander Zverev went down as well, the number 3 overall seed. And then there is the huge, huge story on the women's side, an awful start for the Americans. Coco Gauff, defending French Open champion, won that not that long ago. Done in straight sets. Jess Pegula, the number 3 overall seed, also down in straight sets. So an absolutely tough start to the tournament for the Americans, especially the two topped ranked who will not make it out of the opening round. That is what's trending. I'm Craig Hoffman on the team, 980. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube too at the team 980. Mike Conti, host of Hawks pre and post game, 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, joins us coming up at 5 o'clock. Ben Pickman on the WNBA at 6. So we got lots going on here on day two of NBA free agency. Also, the WNBA Commissioner's Cup tonight. Ben also, I talked to Ben about an hour ago. We had to pre-tape because he's at the Commissioner's Cup tonight. But we didn't talk about too much about the game. We talked about the Elia Edwards trade rumors that ESPN reported. We talked about how much Caitlin Clark is actually worth to the league. And the answer is potentially over $1 billion. So pretty interesting insight there. But one thing I forgot to mention in what's trending, Clark with that groin injury that's kept her out is out tonight for the Commissioner's Cup final. So a pretty uphill battle for the Fever against the Minnesota Lynx. I will also say that we will talk about the Clark All-Star hullabaloo. If you're not aware, people are very upset that the fellow players voted Caitlin Clark ninth amongst guards in the WNBA All-Star voting. She is an All-Star starter because of the media and fan vote, but she was voted ninth by her fellow players, which clearly means all the rest of the league hates her, right? Not so much. I'll explain at 6:15 after we chat with Ben. All right. As for right now, one other really interesting move that happened yesterday, Brooke Lopez is going to Los Angeles, and that was expected. The thing is, though, Ben, he was expected to go to the Lakers. He's going to the Clippers. I think this is a really interesting move for the Clippers. I think it kind of kicks the Lakers in the knee, which you know the Clippers enjoy doing. But it also is a very interesting, Zubac is their starting center. He's very, very, very good. And if you can then have Lopez be a backup guy or go Twin Towers and still be able to space the floor, and he's playing 20, 22 minutes, but he can play at a pretty high level because he's 40 years old and we just need you to play like a 4-minute stretch in each quarter, a 5-minute stretch in each quarter. Like, that's a pretty nice piece if they can ever get Kawhi healthy in the playoffs, which is, I realize, a big if. But they re-sign Harden on the 2-year deal after he opts out, and that's something they kind of worked on together. The Clippers are just this, they continue to have a window open where they could be interesting. And I respect them, instead of just kind of settling for being what they are, finding a way to tweak their team and make it better. They're still hoping and praying that Kawhi can be healthy, and that's a bet that might not ever pay off. But unless they're going to blow it up and trade Kawhi, which I don't even know who would trade for him, as great as he is because of the injury risk, I kind of respect them being like, all right, well, then what's the best version of us with Kawhi, and actively pursuing that? I have a lot of respect for that.
The Los Angeles Clippers, when I compare them to any other professional sports team, to me, and maybe this is just because I'm kind of a hater, they're like the Dallas Cowboys to me. They're a team that always has such high expectations, a team that always has adequate star players on the team. I know injury has been an issue because of Kawhi Leonard and what's been going on with him the past couple of years. But until I'm proven otherwise with the Clippers, thus them getting over the hump, actually getting to a conference finals or getting to an NBA finals, I'm just never going to believe in them.
I hear you. I do think it's absolutely hilarious that you compare them to the Dallas Cowboys, and I will tell you why. I have no other way to say this. You are too young to remember what the Clippers were to anyone who is over the age of 35, which includes me at the age of 35. before Steve Ballmer bought them, because like your entire sports viewing life, they have been owned by Steve Ballmer. Like, do you remember the Donald Sterling scandal?
Yeah, of course.
But how old were you when the Donald Sterling scandal happened?
Well, what year was it?
Like 2011, probably.
So I was 8.
No, it was 2014.
Oh, so I was 11.
Yeah.
That's right when I got into basketball, kind of. That was when the Wizards got good.
Right. And so most of your, like, you remember the scandal, but probably you don't remember as much as you think you do because you were 11. By the way, Ramona Shelburne did an incredible 30 for 30 podcast on the, if you ever want to go find deep, I don't even know if the 30 for 30 podcast is still a thing. I just remember listening to it at some point in my life. But Ramona did amazing reporting on it. But like before Ballmer took over and this became a real franchise with real ambition and then failed a lot with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan, and then ultimately this version with Harden, Kawhi, Russ, the various foot pieces that have been in Paul George over the past couple of years, they weren't even a laughing stock. They were whatever's worse than that. They were like a pity party. Like the Clippers were synonymous with being the worst team in the league. Like Donald Sterling was a legitimate Daniel Snyder level owner, but he even felt like cheaper and worse somehow. Like he could have easily had the same congressional investigations. Just an absolutely terrible person who was terrible at being an owner in charge of what should have been a marquee franchise. And now you have Ballmer, who is the opposite of that. Just everybody loves the guy. He's super rich. He spends money like he's super rich. He built them their own arena. It's the nicest one in the league. He's like trying to buy, you know, hey, if you buy a ticket, season tickets on the wall and we make the playoffs, we'll fly you private to every single playoff game. Like, we'll charter a jet. Like, this dude is doing stuff that other NBA owners are probably like, hey, man, we're rich, but, like, we don't have that kind of money. You need to chill out. Like, that's who Steve Ballmer is, the polar opposite. And so I think the Cowboys thing is funny because there is nothing glitz and glamour about the Clippers unless you are, you know, below 30 years old and don't remember the Donald Sterling days. But in terms of having expectations and then not meeting them on the court or always seemingly falling short at like or even a round before it would be acceptable to fall short, I do understand the comparison between the Cowboys and the Clippers that you just made.
Yep, that's the exact point I was going for. Organizationally, completely opposite. One is owned by Jerry Jones, the other Ballmer.
Yeah, and
very, you know, very different people.
Very, very different in so many ways. But one is running like a mom and pop shop in the Cowboys, and Steve Ballmer's like, I'm going to run a tech icon or tech titan type of organization. So I like what they're doing, and the Lakers need to figure out what the heck they're doing. They're in a weird spot, man. I don't know what you do because LeBron's still awesome, but he, I don't know if he's $50 million awesome. And they need to build around Luka, and there's still there seems to be a lot of smoke around that whole situation. We'll see what the Lakers can do to try to be competitive this season. And also, you know, apparently Rob Pelinka was making stuff, you know, making or leaking stuff about cap space in 2027. You have Luka and LeBron now. You should be able to compete if you can put anything around them. So, like, go do that. Anyway, coming up next, the Hawks, I love what they're doing. To quote Zach Lowe, caw-caw. He does a better version of it. The point is, Mike Conti of 92.9 The Game in Atlanta is standing by, and he is going to join us next here on The Hoffman Show.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God.
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam. Ohtani,
inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.